I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Ann Marlowe of the Hudson Institute is in Benghazi. Benghazi is the very large city on the Mediterranean Sea. It's about 750,000 before the events of these last months in Libya. It is under attack by the forces from Tripoli. Well to the south is the front line. That is a moving story, with NATO supporting the free people of Libya's forces. However, in Benghazi, there is an active and bubbling civil discourse about the future for Libya without Gaddafi. 42 years of brutal dictatorship, whimsical and ludicrous behavior by himself, his sons, and his cronies. They're well to the west in Tripoli. Their mercenary army is all they have to represent the regime after more than four decades. And a very greetings to you in Benghazi. You have been there now some 48 hours or so. The atmosphere remains, as you described it on the first day, festive. What have you seen in these last 24 hours about the civil society in Benghazi?
Well, I arrived on Friday and have been interviewing locals about how they see their society changing now that they're no longer under the yoke of Gaddafi. And I think the most interesting comments I've heard so far come from one of the two or three women who have been most prominent in revolutionary circles, Iman Bugaygis, who is a doctor in orthodontics. She is a dentist and a professor of dentistry, but she's also been taking courses in and studying civil society organizing. And she had some very interesting views, and we have her here to share them with us.
Good. May I speak with the doctor professor, please?
Here she is.
What can you tell us about the transformation of Benghazi in these last 2 months since February 17th? What is most significant?
Yes. Actually, there is a lot of changing happening at all levels. From the beginning, 17th of February, we protested, and within four of peaceful protests, the response from Gaddafi regime was killing the youth, and this raised the demand to bringing the regime down. And surprisingly, it came down in all the eastern cities. And then we found ourselves at vacuum. We didn't have any institutions to start with. So we, as the older generation, we felt responsible and just tried to organize ourselves to establish city councils and then transitional national council for the whole Libya, which shows the solidarity of Libya. Actually, this is from the political side, if you can say, but from the at the civil society side, there's a lot of developments, because we were oppressed for 42 years. We didn't have any say in anything. We were passive all the time. We were not used to think. Actually, we underestimated ourselves and our youth. We didn't do something like that would happen or take place. Me personally, I thought that it's still very early, and we are not mature enough as a society to carry out any change.
Professor, just a moment. I want to restate what I've heard from you, because the connection isn't as sharp as it can be. So what I've learned from you is that when the February 17th revolution came, and it was brutality by the regime, you were thrown on your own lookout. And since then, it's been necessary to start again with councils to create a civil society, because after 42 years, there was no understanding of institutions that can support democracy and transparency, and that you're still undergoing that process now in Benghazi and throughout Cyrenaica. And that process is necessary because of the way you have been mistreated by the regime for your whole life. Is that a fair summary of your remark?
Yes, you can say that, but it's not only in Cyrenaica, because we have also cities on the west side of Libya, which are liberated. And some of them are under siege, like Misrata, which is under siege now for about 50 days. So it's on the western part of the city of Libya.
The western, yes, Misrata. We hear much about that, Professor.
Misrata, Nalut, Sinta, and many cities. It's not just one city.
Professor, what can you tell us about the children? Anne tells us that not many people are working because the government has turned them out of their jobs, and the children are not going to school. What are the children doing?
Actually, this was very important for us, because children are traumatized with what was going on. Now what we are trying to do is just to engage them on activities, to express themselves, to be creative, to explain on their ways how it affected them. Many of them lost their beloved or some relatives. They are very aware of the democratic changes happening in their life. And they are very patient. They come and participate in the demonstrations. Now they are proud of their flags. This regime changed our flag to a very ugly flag, which we didn't respect. And we thought that we didn't respect our country because it was stained by him. Also, he changed the name of our country. We thought that we don't love our country, even our children. And then now we are discovering ourselves, our love, our passion. And also the children are part of that. We are trying to organize meetings for them. Actually, now we want to start to build a democratic society at the individual level, because we didn't know, you know, generations of our society, they didn't know what democracy means. And this is, I think, the real challenge, because if we don't build democracy at the individual level, we will end up with another dictator. So I think this is our next fight, and we have started from very early in that.
Professor, you're in Benghazi, and you've been there from the beginning, including the siege that was broken by NATO on March 19th. What does the city of Benghazi need? Anne tells me you have food and you have petrol. What do you need?
Actually, we need our country. Benghazi can't live alone. We are one united country with our capital, Tripoli. We have here, we are a homogeneous society. We have every family here in Benghazi and relatives in Tripoli and on the other cities, because we used to move a lot during the last 20 years.
Right.
This is number one. So we need to liberate our country, and then we have to build it again. From scratch, vacuum, because what was happening here in Benghazi was a militia by Gaddafi, Colonel Gaddafi and his family, and people just left like that, deserted. No organization, no infrastructure, nothing whatsoever. He didn't like his country, and he didn't like to spend money. So he deprived us of our money, and now he's using the money to kill us with it.
Yes. I'm speaking with Professor Dr. Imam Bougagas, and she is a professor at Gal Yunus University in Benghazi. She is part of the February 17th revolution. She's with Anne Marlowe of the Hudson Institute. Anne has been in Benghazi these last days and will continue. Right now, what we're hearing is a city that is relearning or rejoining civil society everywhere after more than four decades of abuse by the dictator and his codependents throughout the world. And I'm looking especially at the banks and the big oil companies that have made deals with the dictators these last years. All of that has to be solved. In the meantime, the people of Benghazi are looking to reunite with the rest of their country. I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show.